Good morning. It's 7:49 and you are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, May 22nd, 2012. I'm Holly Keen and this is Raven News. The Sitka Assembly will adopt its 2013 budget over the course of two meetings tonight. The first will be a special meeting from 5 to 6 p.m. The second will be the Assembly's regular meeting beginning at 6. Public testimony during budget deliberations will be limited to 1 minute per individual. Also tonight, the Assembly will consider on second reading raising water rates in town. The proposed rate increase was built into the Water Department Master Plan and has generated little controversy. Ending the senior citizen tax exemption, on the other hand, has been relatively controversial. The Assembly has previously postponed final adoption of the ordinance, which replaces the current exemption with a needs-based exemption. Seniors on both sides of the issue have offered testimony at earlier meetings. Raven Radio's live coverage of tonight's two meetings will begin at 6 p.m. at the start of the Assembly's regular session. After three decades, the Sitka Fine Arts Camp is striking out in a new direction. Since 1973, the camp has taught thousands of kids music, dance, theater, and art. This summer, for the first time, they'll offer a camp for adults. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Roger Schmidt is the director of Alaska Arts Southeast, which runs the Fine Arts Camp. He says the camp has been considering an adult program for a while, but has never had the space. Now there's no excuse.
I've heard from lots of people they want to do it, so we're throwing it out to see if people really want to do it, if people really sign up, fill up the classes, and then they have the opportunity. We'll get lots of feedback, presumably, from that, and we can evolve it however it wants or needs to be evolved in the next years to come.
The opportunity to create the adult camp came when the trustees of Sheldon Jackson College gave the school's campus to the Sitka Fine Arts Camp in March of last year. Besides the adult camp, there will also be a new family camp for elementary age students, a circus camp, and a musical theater camp. But the adult camp is definitely a new market for Alaska Arts Southeast. Schmidt is fairly certain adults need what the camp offers.
When you're 14, it's important to stretch and do things that you've never done before because it opens up dimensions in you. It's even more important, I think. You know, we get as adults, we get so certain that this is what I do and this is what I don't do. And this idea that sort of, you know, we hatch and then we're done. And that's just such a sort of a tragic way to go about life.
Adult classes will be offered in two evening blocks from June 11th to June 15th, and campers can take one class in each block. Schmidt says the curriculum is less conservative than he first imagined. Campers can take, among other things, African drumming and dance, painting, understanding chamber music, and ceramics. And at an even slightly higher tempo, the camp will also offer adults Afro-Cuban dance, and for those interested in going airborne, trapeze and acrobatics.
I think the thing that, you know, that's so important for people is to play. And I just thought there's nothing more kind of playful and freeing than trying trapeze and acrobatics. Those are the acrobatics class is really popular at the Fine Arts Camp for our students.
The adult camp represents some risk for Alaska Arts Southeast. The model is more or less untested. What Schmidt is certain of, though, is that whoever shows up will benefit, and he's got the adjectives to prove it.
Invigorating, lively, empowering, you name it. Same things that happens with the kids. Grown, increased self-esteem, increased social interaction, blah, blah, blah. We have grants that document this stuff.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The Affordable Care Act has received a lot of media attention this spring as the U.S. Supreme Court deliberates on the merits of the so-called personal mandate. But the act has many other components intended to help reduce the overall demand for health care in the country. Last year, the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium received $500,000 in Affordable Care Act funding to bring about policy changes in organizations, changes that could have permanent impact on health. Martha Pearson is a grant manager at Search in Sitka.
Time and time again, I've seen in Southeast Alaska how people say, oh, that was a great program, but then so-and-so left. Or, oh, that was a really fun thing, but then we lost our funding, and it went away.
Pearson says Search plans to distribute its Affordable Care Act funding over the next 5 years in a series of much smaller community transformation grants. The amounts range from $5,000 to $25,000. The program is a major paradigm shift for this kind of health funding. It's not about building a new playground or paying for a mobile mammogram van to go to a certain community. Pearson says it's more about
helping to build sustained, even permanent policies on an organizational level. So these would be rules that an organization has about how does it provide food for the students in the school system? How does it treat its employees in terms of how many breaks they get during the day to exercise or work on wellness activities?
Pearson ran Search's Wise Woman program for years and says it took her and her colleagues a while to understand the difference between programming and policy. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control has produced a 16-page booklet with ideas for creating policies to promote tobacco-free living, active living, and healthy eating. The ideas range from instituting standards-based PE instruction for schools to protecting people from secondhand smoke and making it easier for people to walk and ride bikes. Pearson says making policy changes doesn't have to be complicated.
What are the things that influence in a person's daily life, whether they can make healthier choices or not?
Another shift in thinking is the transformation grants is the emphasis on community. Typically, federal funding this large might land in Southeast Alaska with a more global purpose to reduce the rate of adult diabetes, for instance. Pearson says this $500,000 will be distributed from the ground up.
Search might not know what's going to work in Yakutat or might not know what exactly is going to go over well in Heidelberg. So the community groups from those places are being invited to be the ones that figure it out, and they know what's going to work locally and what the organizations are interested in, where the energy is right now.
Because the funding is being routed through Search, a tribal organization, Pearson says policy changes that affect the lives of Southeast's tribal citizens will have preference for the grants. But she also acknowledges that Southeast is a tight-knit community and the same health issues can affect almost everyone. She has a hard time imagining a nonprofit or community group that it would not qualify. The application deadline for this first year of community transformation grants is June 1st. The short application can be downloaded online at Search's website. You can find a link posted with this story on our website, kcaw.org. In an effort to break a Guinness World Record, more than 1,000 people sporting rain boots gathered in Sitka on sunny Saturday, May 19th, for a fun run. The event attracted a variety of participants from toddlers to senior citizens. But did enough show up to add Ketchikan to the rain boot record book? KRBD's Maria Dedzak reports.
From extra tufts to hunters to brightly colored rubber boots with flowers and polka dots, a large group gathered at the end of Ketchikan's 3rd Avenue bypass this past Saturday for the Rain Boot Run, an attempt to break a world record during Ketchikan's newly established Rain Boot Festival. The weather was beautiful and participants enthusiastic. Some walked, some ran, and others were wheeled along the 1 kilometer course. Ty Retke is one of the organizers of the event.
What's going on today is we're going to attempt to break the Guinness World Book of Records largest Wellington boot race. And we need to get 1,367 people to break the record. It currently is being held by a town in the UK. And they set it back in 2009 with 1,366.
Retke says as the committee was developing the festival, the idea of breaking a world record came about.
It was actually through contacting Guinness. We kind of gave them a rundown of what our community was about. Looking through some of the records that are out there, they have a whole listing on their website.
Really,
it's more, way more than they put in any of the books. And we just kind of looked through, and Judy was able to find this particular one that's rain boot related.
Before Saturday's race began, a team of volunteers registered participants, checking their footwear and giving them green wristbands to be collected at the end of the race for official participant verification. Retke says he was responsible for working with Guinness to make sure proper procedures were followed with the run.
They have very specific ways that we have to count the measurements, they call it evidence that we submit to verify that we attained the record. Includes video, pictures, sworn statements. We have to have experts to do certain things and that sort of thing. So all very, very specific and very detailed oriented.
Many people say they found out about the event through Facebook, asked why they decided to come out to participate. Most said to be part of a record-breaking event.
Tiffany Pickerel.
I mean, how many opportunities do you have to contribute to setting a world record? And little Ketchikan, yay us.
Hi, I'm Krista Kegel. I came out because my friend Tiffany asked me to, and I figured, why not? It'll be a lot of fun.
I'm Seth, and I am here to make a world record, of course, just like everybody else. What if we lost by one person, and I wasn't here? I would blame myself.
Crowd control was a challenge, but eventually, the race got underway.
I need everybody lined up on this lane behind that line right there. On this lane. This side of the yellow line, please, folks. If you don't already have your wristband, you need to get it in a hurry. We're about to start. We've only got a few more minutes, so everybody on this lane only. Everybody to this side, please. On the board! Get set!
Most chose to walk the course, but several ran. To beat the participant record, at least 1,367 people needed to cross the finish line and turn in their wristbands to be officially counted. The final tally? 1,008. Though they fell shy by several hundred, Redke says organizers learned a lot and hope to go for the Guinness record again next year. In Ketchikan, I'm Maria Dudzak.
The Alaska Heritage Institute officials say the nonprofit tribal organization has awarded nearly $410,000 in scholarships to shareholders and their descendants. The scholarships are for students pursuing vocational tech training or graduate and undergraduate degrees in the 2012-2013 school year. And that's all for Raven News, KCAW Sitka.